Allen and Mahomes, to me, are on their own stratosphere, where those two guys could play with all of us and win 12 games. They make throws that most people would just be taught, don't ever even attempt that, but they do it, and they do it all the time. I understand the Bills fan who sits there and says, hey, I want a number one receiver. I want a Stephon Diggs in his prime without the drama type of guy. Great, I get that. The Bills can win the Super Bowl with Khalil Shakir as a number one receiver. I watched the Chiefs win a Super Bowl with Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore.
Matt Verderam on Chill with the Bulldog yesterday. Good conversation. Checking in with the Chiefs there. Now listen to that.
And nobody is saying they can't win without a number one receiver.
That is correct. No, not many people are saying that they can't.
The Chiefs proved you could do it both ways.
That's right.
They had a number one receiver, and we're going to do the thing with the Chiefs, I guess. Although last year, I guess, is less of this. But we're going to do the thing with the Chiefs that everyone does with the Patriots, which is we're going to forget they have the best tight end of all time. We're just going to forget that. The Patriots had no weapons, everybody. Don't forget the polar bear in the corner that catches 1,000 yards a year. We're just going to forget Travis Kelce exists. If Kincaid becomes great, I'm good forgetting about that tight end after the Bills win Super Bowls.
Yep.
But he's got to become that.
Indeed. Indeed. We had a caller on Kincaid earlier. There's a picture going around of him from Bills phase one of workouts, and people are kind of just, whether they're extracting from the picture that he's got knee braces or wraps or the extracting that he looks thin. I mentioned this in the first hour. Good morning, by the way, Jeremy and Joe, if you're just joining us. That the thing I learned from the picture was not a takeaway. I'm not sitting here looking at this picture thinking, clearly I can see his play strength or anything like that. The takeaway is that Kincaid is under the microscope as much as anybody on this team right now.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
The two players that are maybe the most, let's see what they've got, are Kincaid and Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what Bean is leaning on when he's bullish on his pass catchers group, is his last two top picks of the draft before this last one were pass catchers for Josh Allen to try and invest in the position and see if they can get something out of him. So for Kincaid, there's a little bit of what do they want him to be? You want him to be bigger and stronger and have play strength and be more of a – would that mean sacrificing smoothness? Would that mean sacrificing speed? Would that mean – giving up a little bit of the pass catching for a little bit more play strength? I don't know that it has to be that.
Does he look like to you that he has any of that?
Play strength? Or
speed and fluidity maybe is one thing that he's got. He had, until last year, unbelievable hands. College and then his rookie season, it felt like any ball that was near him, he was going to come down
with. He's supposed to be the best pass catcher in the draft, and his first year was incredibly efficient. He caught everything.
Yep, so that could have just been an off year for him, because last year with the drops and, I mean, even that play at the end, which is less of a drop, but, you know, that doesn't line up with the rest of his career, including college.
Yeah.
So I might expect that will bounce back, but I don't know. I don't know what does it look like if he does take that monster step forward. Like, okay, he becomes one of the great tight ends in football. I can look around the league and know, like, I know what it looks like with Trey McBride jumps over people, right? Like, there's these athletic traits that you see in some of these freakazoid tight ends that have become the best tight ends in football. I don't know what Kincaid looks like if he becomes that. Is he more the nuances of the position and he's more like Kelce, where you don't see him on the screen running routes, the ball goes to him, and you're just like, how is that dude open? How is nobody covering him? Did we just forget about him again? Mm-hmm. Is it that, or is he going to be like Trey McBride or George Kittle, where he's running by guys and then also running through them? Because I thought he would be more of the former.
Running past guys.
No, more of like the fluidity and like he's just good at finding those open holes and more like outthinking the defense rather than he's the best athlete on the field.
Yeah, I think fluidity, if we go with the Kincaid timeline, and by the way, give us a ring on this, 803-0550. This kind of gets to the question on One Bills Live yesterday. I listened for a good chunk of it, was like, what's going to be different about this year's passing game? They were talking about receivers. What will be different about the receivers? Let's go to all of it, the passing game. What will be different, more improved? Do they even really need any improvement? Of course, the GM is pointing to 30 points a game, which they did average. So what'll be different? You know, Kincaid, if we take the timeline, Joe, it was year one. He was the star of training camp. It was all about how Every practice, he is a part of the offense. It's not a bring him along slowly. You know, each position gets its own timeline. And there are plenty of people that would tell you that tight end is a position that might take a little time. You know, guys, rookies, you and I had a bet. Rookie tight ends don't put up big numbers. And I just think the position has changed to a point where now we've got the Kincaid's type of hybrid tight end receiver that's a tight end. But that position gets targets, and that position comes in and makes a big difference right away. If you're someone in Dynasty that drafts Tyler Warren, I bet you get a bunch of catches out of him in Indianapolis if they have a quarterback. And whether it's McBride, who you mentioned, or a lot of Evan Engram, this position exists around the league. It's not really unique anymore. A lot of teams have their guy like this. But
It's almost rare now to have a team that doesn't have anybody like that.
Yeah, he fit right in. He was fluid. And then we saw it produce in games right away to a point. Dorsey gets fired quickly. That's one thing about Kincaid's timeline. We make this point about quarterbacks and receivers. Elijah Moore had all these different quarterbacks, and that's why he hasn't produced like he should. And Sam Darnold had all these different coordinators, and that's why he didn't produce like he should. For Kincaid, he's drafted into a Ken Dorsey offense that 8 games in becomes a Joe Brady offense. And with Brady, in the regular season, I could pull up the postseason stats. With Brady, I think Dalton Kincaid has two touchdowns.
Yeah. In the regular season, one, and then he has one in the playoffs.
Okay, so in all the games that Joe Brady has called for the Bills, Kincaid has 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody eats. I know that's fine. It's kind of this one spot where the Bills have something that's difficult to kind of wrap your arms around or whatever, wrap your head around, because I've got it where everybody's going to get the ball, so no one person should produce. And that almost runs a little counter to trying to figure out, hey, did Bean make a good pick in Kincaid? He's not individually producing, but the offense as a whole produces. So, you know, we've kind of got this endless conversation about what they do on offense, which, of course, is 97% due to Josh Allen being amazing. Maybe like 80% Allen and 20% the offensive line, and their weapons are nicer than they were last year. Anyway, if you want to give us a call on Kincaid and your expectations for him, because that picture, you can tell me the picture is a nothing burger, and I probably would be inclined to agree. The responses to me were eye-opening. Okay, people are ready for Kincaid to show it, to be a premier tight end in the league, and I don't know if he'll get the targets for that. You bring up McBride. We went through the numbers. If Kincaid got McBride's target share, he would have those numbers. Even at a poor efficiency standpoint, he wasn't that far off on yards per catch and yards per target.
Yeah, I mean, there was about a 2-yard difference in yards per target, which I think for tight end might be a lot. But over 2 years, it's closer.
It's not that far.
In the rookie year, Kincaid was pretty good at that. So, right, last year, McBride got 147 targets. And he had 1,100 yards. But part of that is he commands that. Like, he is a weapon. He's not just good at getting open, McBride is. He is absolutely, you throw a screen to, and you just watch him go.
You know what he is? He's like throwing a screen to Josh Allen.
Yeah,
that's McBride.
He really is. McBride is Josh Allen if he couldn't throw. Basically, that's
jumping over dudes, stiff arming guys. Yeah,
he had a touchdown last year because McBride. Part of his story was he didn't have any touchdowns.
Right,
he had all those yards and all those catches, but he had 2 receiving touchdowns on the year. He had a rushing touchdown on the year, and I remember that because I had him in fantasy, and it was like a weird experience with him. And it was a reverse. That team was running reverses to him because he's that level of athlete on top of getting open. So, you know, there's part of, well, if Kincaid had targets like that, he would have similar numbers. But you do earn those targets. And nobody would say Kincaid earned, I think, the right to have 100 targets last year. I mean, often when he was getting targeted, he and the quarterback did not look like they were on the same page. And you had drops on top of it. Like, it was Allen to Kincaid in an offense where there were a ton of efficient plays last year. Allen to the running backs was efficient. I'm looking at their yards per target last year, and those are their top 2 receivers in yards per target, were Ty Johnson and Ray Davis. Cook catches were efficient, and Knox actually was quietly in a very low target share was efficient, and so was Shakir on his role. the one guy that you could absolutely point to and say, yeah, when they threw to that guy, it didn't really work. Last year, that was Kincaid. You could blame the injury, and I think they would be right to some extent. But I don't know. I'm still questioning what it looks like if he becomes this star tight end and how he does it.
It'd be a pretty great find. And people would be thinking that the long-term staying power of this offense at the top, which it's almost always been at the top because of Josh Allen, but you know, a number one running mate right now, that's Shakir, and Kincaid's the other one that was supposed to be that, or Coleman. They've got two guys they can really point to and say, we've got a lot of belief here, and we'll see if it comes to fruition. 803-0550, Jerry and Kenmore is up first this hour. Hey, Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. Actually, I'm going by Jeremy and old Jerry. Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's Jeremy and Kenmore now. I think the Kincaid thing, from a strength standpoint, I don't think it's even like functionality and how he has the game. I think they're very concerned about his durability. It's a physical position, and Knox plays physical, and Kelce played physical, and Gronk played physical. And I think he's built more like a finesse tight end, and I don't think that's what we want, because we run the ball and we want him to finish runs. And I think the strength is just strictly a durability thing, and maybe that's why he didn't practice much, maybe he didn't do as much because he was hurt. And if we can change his strength a little bit, he'll get more plays on the field, he'll get more plays in practice, so he'll be more functional in our offense.
Yeah, thanks, Sherry. Thanks for the phone call. Maybe durability is going to be really important. That's something that this Bills team, you know, they had injuries to, of course, Kincaid and Coleman and Samuel. Three players that they were hoping to count on. And then Cooper also last year when he got here, right? There was a little bit of a shoulder injury after Seattle's shoulder. So,
yep.
It's always built in. Durability. It's one thing we're, you know, knock on wood, spoiled by the quarterback who has got the active streak for the most consecutive starts.
Mm-hmm.
And is like 10 years away from Brett Favre on that. He's got a long way to go. Long way to go.
Well, they want to run the ball too, right? Like, and he's going to be on the field for that a lot. And I don't know that you would say he's been a bad blocker for 2 years. I don't really know how he was last year in this. I remember, though, seeing that his first year was better as a blocker than you. Like, he was wrecking people down the field when he was blocking defensive backs. And last year, I don't really know how that went for him. So I think it's more about the durability, but part of it is the Bills like to run the ball a lot. And when you have two tight ends on the field, I think part of, going back to Dorsey conversations, what's part of the reason you might want to run 12 personnel? What's one of the defenses you'll hear for it?
Which is multiple, so you don't know if you're going to run or pass.
Yeah, right. That's
why McDermott wants it. He always talks about, if we're going back to McDermott's entire career, it's the threat of the run.
Yep. There's that, and also it is that Kincaid in this instance, your second tight end on the field is often now going to be blocking a defensive back. And him blocking a defensive back instead of a linebacker feels like an advantage in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be another part of why they would want, I don't know what the number is, though. Do they want him to gain 10 pounds? They want him to gain 25 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, we'll see. Training camp, OTAs, it'll be part of the conversation. Like right now we're still at phase one, but the first couple times we hear from Kincaid, it'll be about, is there a goal in terms of what you're supposed to gain, the play strength? We'll see. Larry in South Florida is up. Hey, Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to talk about what I want to see different in the passing offense. So last year I put $50 down, I think it was, on a futures bet, because I laughed when Vegas set the number at 3750.5 for Josh for total yards. I said, there's no way this guy's not going to throw for four, even if it was a 16-game season, which and technically for Josh it was, I still would have taken the bet. Well, you go back and you look at a lot of those games. Were there deep throws? Yeah, there were. But they were deep sideline throws, and there was so much dink and dunk and behind the line of scrimmage and two-yard passes. And think of that Kansas City game. All the short yard passes and those stupid first and second down runs, it drove me crazy. And they just loaded the box, and there was nowhere for Josh to go on that fourth and one. Even though we all believe he got it, that shouldn't have come down to that, in my opinion. Especially all those times that they ran for third and two or third and one, Josh up the middle, should never have to come down to that. You have the weapons. I mean, the other day when we were talking about receivers, I forgot we have Josh Palmer. I love Josh Palmer. I mean, he's a more polished Keon Coleman, in my opinion, and he's got better hands. And you go and get him when you already have a Keon Coleman, and you also have a Curtis Samuel. That's why I was so thrilled they went and got Elijah Moore. I want over-the-middle throws, gentlemen. I want to see not just deep sideline throws. And I know he had a much lower interception ratio, and that's great. But when you do ball control, time of possession, short dink-and-dunk passes, that stuff's going to happen. I want a little bit more risk. I want a little bit more open. I want over-the-middle throws. Kincaid is built for that kind of thing. He's got the speed. He's got the hands. He can get open. You know, he does drop, but they all drop here and there. And I just think with Josh's arm and his moving ability and the way he can throw out to his right, you've got to get over-the-middle throws. I'd love to get your opinion.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Larry. Over-the-middle, one of the things the Bills saw a lot of last year was cover one. Like, all the talk about cover two, and listen, there are a lot of different looks you see, but the Bills saw a very high number, a high amount of cover one. And I think that what they did, what teams tried to do to the Bills was close off the middle of the field to a degree and force them through to the outside. So one of the reasons they went out and got Cooper was they needed to pull a little more attention to the outside. You know, Mac Hollins is out there. You know, it's funny. One thing about this conversation, this endless conversation at receiver, the Bills are right now, I mean, we talked to the GM on Monday. We keep using the phrase spicy. It got spicy. Point of clarification. What they're doing at receiver this year is very different from what they did at receiver last year. It is very different. The training, I have the training camp depth chart of last year. Last year, here's their receiver depth chart. Mac Hollins is listed as the number one receiver on one side. Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel on the other side. The backups are Keon Coleman, MVS, Tyrell Shavers, Justin Shorter.
Okay.
Then Chase Claypool, Brian Thompson, and Xavier Johnson.
Yeah.
While they are still doing Everybody Eats, and they're still doing, you know, didn't spend a high draft pick and didn't spend huge wide receiver one money, which don't let anybody hijack it into being only about receiver one. It is very different than Mac Hollins and Curtis Samuel are your one and two.
Yeah.
Now you have Josh Palmer in that mix. And Elijah Moore, where would he rank on last year's training camp roster? He'd be ahead of MVS.
I would have been thinking about him as their
three.
Their number two, even, maybe.
Whatever. But the point is,
well, they had paid Samuel, so maybe that's right, number three.
Samuel,
yeah.
We wondered about the injuries there. But so the point is that they are going in this year spending much more on the position. Palmer is a big upgrade.
Yeah.
So last year
he should be a lot better than what Cooper was
last
year.
Right. So yeah. Like for Bean to say, I get people asked the questions last year. Yeah, those questions were fully warranted, and they went out and traded for Amari Cooper, and then things from there got better. So they are entering this year, while there's a lot of noise about how they're doing it at receiver, it is definitely different than last year. They've invested more at the position than they did last year. Coleman in year two is not relying on a rookie, and you see some good things out of him. So that's a step up. Keon Coleman right now versus Keon Coleman this time last year. And Palmer over Hollins is a step up. And again, like Cooper wasn't here. So Elijah Moore is a step up over MVS. Just do it on the money. So while the Bills are, I don't know, trying to take a victory lap on what they did last year, they have followed up last year by going into the season investing more, which I think is a good development, a positive development.
And I think they're better at the position for it.
Yeah.
Like, just the continued mischaracterization of what the wide receiver debate is this offseason. Like, Bean says, kind of to your point, like, he says, I understood the questions last year. There were more questions last year.
Yeah, there are fewer
there
questions.
There was more debate about it. There was more talk about it. This year, sure, there still is some. Part of that is there's not that many positions on this team that are worthy of debate.
Right.
Because they are that their roster is in that state. So that's part of it.
Right, part of it is a bit of a compliment to say,
yeah, like,
there's a spot on your team that appears to be a little,
yeah,
whatever, lighter than others.
Like, it's also a compliment to say, I think there is a lot less talk about the position and debate about the position. I'd say there's none this year because I think a lot of people think the position's better.
Yeah.
And everyone liked Matt Collins, and Cooper did some nice things while he was here, but I don't see anybody making the argument that Palmer and now Moore into the fold is an upgrade over those two.
And not even Cooper in that spot. Palmer and Moore, the flip from last year is Mac Hollins and MVS.
Right.
That's really the difference from last year to this year. That's a step.
Yeah. MVS was just, he's a one-trick pony. And Moore, he doesn't have to be great. Moore could catch 5 passes this year, for all we know. He could also catch 60.
Right.
But, like, the skill set is the big difference there. Valdes-Scantling was a one-trick pony even at his best. He was a guy that could run down the field, had severe drop problems his whole career. And Moore is somebody that, if he works, should be able to do everything for you. And that is very different. If MVS worked out, he was doing one thing for you well. And Moore, if he works out, I think Moore's doing everything for you.
And they might want
slot, outside, downfield, right, underneath. And like, he's a well-rounded skill set that just hasn't put it together yet.
803-0550. We started on Kincaid, got a couple calls on receivers there as well. And a big trade in the NFL. We've not yet seen the compensation, but George Pickens on his way to Dallas. Instant fantasy reaction, Joe. Pickens is now an upgrade. He goes to a much better offense.
Yes, he's got a better quarterback.
With a stud quarterback as opposed to Mason Rudolph.
He does go from a number one to being a number two.
Well, he was just about to be behind Metcalf. So
right.
Maybe it's a slight downgrade in terms of the depth chart, but I mean, at quarterback, he's a lot better.
Yeah, I think I would want to tank my Metcalf shares.
Sell?
I don't know what you'd get for him right now. I wouldn't be optimistic. What's Metcalf going to have for them? They're not going to be very well-rounded. Their passing game is going to be just focus on Metcalf and you're good.
Yeah.
So I don't know how well he's going to do there.
803-0550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.